The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Obviously, there was interest in Venice. Could you just tell us the story of kind of what happened?
Yeah, dude. Actually, it's crazy because this is like the first time, like, I know you know, and a couple, like, all my close friends know, and a couple people know, but, like, it's actually, like, a crazy story.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Chump Chat. It's your boy, Johan Gomez, alongside my co-host, Tanner Tessman. And we got a very special guest here, our boy Eric Palmer Brown, fresh off a recent USMNT call-up. Welcome to the pod, my boy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, boys. Thanks for having me.
We were just chatting up about the Masters. My boy EPB is going for Colin Morikawa with the dub, and he's not performing how he wants, huh? So,
nah, not at all. I just turned it off so I could focus on the podcast, but last shot I saw him, he was in the water, which is obviously not where you want to be. So
what are you thinking about?
Conditions looking to go ahead.
No, what are you thinking about Tiger?
Dude, he looks good. Like he looks for being off for 17 months. I can't like even fathom like how good he looks right now. Like in the pink yesterday, I was like, this dude's looking good. He's playing good. Like, oh man, I'm so excited. Like if Tiger wins, I'll go crazy. I'll go crazy.
Yeah. Yo, I hope you stay this excited for the whole podcast, but no, but the Masters is a big weekend though, man. I really want to go up and play Augusta one time. Have you ever played any big courses like that?
Nah, I haven't been able to. Like in the summer, me and my friends, we do like this Ozarks trip and we go like golfing at the courses down at the Ozarks. And it's really fun, like a little competitive. We got like 12 people, so we split it up, and it's a blast. But haven't been out because we kind of live close to Tiger's course, actually, in Missouri. It's like an hour and a half away, his new course down in Branson. And it's like, yeah. I think it's like $300 a round. And like that like 19th hole that he like used all dynamite to blow up the rocks and stuff. Like that'd be sick to go to. But I just, whenever I have time off in the summer, I'm just – trying to see family and friends and never got to it, but I'll definitely get to it. We got to get to it. We got to one summer, let's go on a golf trip.
Hey, I'm trying to go to Payne's Valley. That video that just went viral of like the golf cart driving through. I already knew about Payne's Valley, but bro, it looks unreal.
It looks sick, right? Yeah. That's we should definitely do it. Cause like the reason we go to the Ozarks instead of like Branson is because like my friends like have houses there at the Ozarks. So it's just easier to like stay like the 12 people. And I think at the end of the day, we need to switch it up. We need to do like a Vegas golf trip or something like where it's just dope. Like,
I mean, at the end of the day, you're a big baller and this is what we're going to get into the podcast about, but okay. You got that bread dog. I know you can hit the homies up and y'all can go play Payne's Valley with 12 people. It's nothing. It's life for you, no?
No, not for me. Not for me. I'm not like that. But, you know, it's like Kevin Hart said, you know, I got to let my banker know to like, hey, we got to transfer the money to the account today. You know, that's me. That's me. I'm frugal. I'm frugal with it.
And that's how you need to be, though. That's good, though.
All right, guys. Football might be over the season, but college and pro hoops are in full swing. For all the latest odds, totals, player performances, props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BET Online has all your betting needs. Head over to the website of your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to get started.
Hey, you also went to Ping, right, in Scottsdale?
I did get a gun.
Yo, I need to do this, man. I need to call Mike, man. This is.
I was telling Walker about it too, and Walker was pretty. He was like, "Dude, I need to go." It was the coolest experience. It's so cool, and just to get fitted, obviously, like by those guys, was crazy.
I need this, bro. I need this bad. I need to go. Not this summer, but man, maybe next summer. I'm down. Yeah. I'm so down to go and do it because it looks. Bro, Mike was showing me the pictures of all y'all there, bro.
It's unbelievable. Different. It's different. It's dope.
If you didn't know, we actually have one of our earlier videos of the Chump Chat career, we had a golf vlog with it's our only in-person video, or maybe two only in-person videos. Maybe we did one interview in person, but we did an on-course vlog, and Johan has never played golf before. So
I actually legitimately saw you, like, you guys messaged me this last or a couple weeks ago, and like this last week on Instagram, I saw Johan swing up there, and man, I thought it was his first time. I was like, I couldn't believe it. When I saw his swing, I was like, oh, that's his first time. It's his first time going.
The fact you said that, that's good though, John. It's like, because, you know, it's not like you've been working on it, you know, like it's clear, you know?
No, that's why I respect you guys who are so into it, bro, because that was awful, bro. It was my first time playing 18 with Tan and Judd and the Texas heat in the summer, bro. Like, I could not handle it. I was ready to go.
Bro, I can't imagine playing in Texas in the summer. Like, in Kansas City, we get, like, that humid air. But, bro, Texas is different. It's different.
Dude, I remember going to Texas is so hot. And after the golf, like, you got a shower. Like, you feel horrible. Like, you feel musty. But, bro, it's so different in Europe. I don't know if you feel the same. But, like, after a golf around in Europe, it's like, I'm chilling. Like, I feel good. Like, I don't know. Yeah, but maybe I'm different, but
like this summer, this past summer, like being in Venice, it was so hot in Venice, bro. Like,
it was hot in Venice.
So like, I don't know if you went golfing that time, but like in Austria last season, like I went towards the end of the season and it gets hot, like walking around. And like in Europe, they do like more walking than like with carts. So you're like, you don't get that breeze from driving in the cart. So I think, I don't know. I'd still choose. I think the courses, like, at least in America, like, at least where maybe we're from, like in Dallas and Kansas City, like they're really nice courses, and like you can go whenever you want because they're pretty open to the public. Here in France, there's like only two around me, and like the weather's been, like, right now it's raining. The weather's been, like, we had snow when I flew back in from national team camp. So it's just like, dude, I'm never gonna get outside to go golfing.
Yeah, let's hop into this when you came to Venice. Obviously, not a lot of people know the whole story. Obviously, me and you know. But I'm just going to ask you the question. You know, obviously, there was interest in Venice. Could you just tell us the story of kind of what happened?
Yeah, dude. Actually, it's crazy because this is, like, the first time, like, I know you know. And a couple, like, all my close friends know and a couple people know. But, like, it's actually, like, a crazy story because I got to Venice this summer, this, like, before the season started. And I was – pretty much all signed up to do, like, sign a contract. I was going to Venice. I was super excited. Like, Venice, like, if you've been to Venice, it's the dopest place. It's so cool. And like the environment that club created with, like, I mean, everyone from the office, like the front office down, like team, everything. It's just one of those things you want to be a part of. And I was there and everything was just perfect. And then get to finalizing like contract details, doing the medical, and pretty much right before I go sign the contract, the day that I'm supposed to go sign the contract, the doctor had called Alex and said, hey, there's something wrong with his heart, like we can't sign this player. And I was like, and so me and my agent are out eating, like, in Venice, like probably like an hour, 2 hours before we're about to go sign the contract. And he gets a call and he's like hands me the phone, and I saw his face, like, it like turned white. I couldn't believe, like, I've never seen him like this. And I get the phone and they tell me, and he's like, hey, we're going to do more tests, but like, we can't sign, like, we need to, like, there's something wrong with your heart. Like, you can't play, you can't do anything right now. And I was like, yo, what? Like, I couldn't believe it. I really, like, I was kind of shook. And, so we, like, get down to it, and, like, kind of the rules in Italy, because, like, the things that have happened in the past in Italy and, like, with Erickson in the summer, they're really, like, strict about, like, what happens, like, with heart testing and stuff like that. And, like, so I couldn't play for a year or something like that if I were to sign in Italy. Like, if we go back and do all the tests and everything's fine, like, if it was just, like, so when that happened, like, everything fell through this summer. And I was like, I was like, oh man, this sucks. Like, I was so excited to go to Venice. I was like, I was telling my mom, I was telling my friends, I was like, I'm going to Venice. Like, all my close friends knew, they were super excited. And then I don't think I told them, like, any of them until, like, I had to fly back to Manchester, and I get back to Manchester, and I'm supposed to go do all these, like, the same heart tests that I did in Venice, like, go back through a medical just with Manchester's guys, City's guys, and we get on the plane, and we get back to Manchester, and then the next day I'm supposed to go testing. I'm at one of the heart tests, doing the heart test. Right when I get out, they call me and they're like, hey, someone on your flight tested positive for COVID. You have to quarantine like for 10 days. So like in the midst of all this, like I'm supposed to be doing like all these heart tests, like trying to get back, like haven't been like working out, doing anything soccer wise. And they're like, yeah, you have to quarantine 10 days. So like now I'm stuck in a hotel for 10 days and can't do like, I think I could do like, I could go to the testing site like after 3 days like of a negative test, but like I've still had to quarantine those 10 days, me and my agent. And it was just, I'm telling you, like I couldn't believe the luck. It felt like everything was against me. Like, cause at the time I didn't think I could play soccer anymore. Like what the Venice doctors told me were like, hey, like you shouldn't play soccer. Like you could end up like Erickson. Like, and I was like freaking out. I was like, dude, that's, I legitimately was just like, no way. Like, I feel fine. Like, couldn't believe it. And, but luckily, like, went through all the tests in Manchester. Everything was fine. They were like, no, we're not seeing what they saw. I don't know what they said. So that was like a blessing in disguise. And then kind of the transfer window was like running down. Like, I think there was like 4 or 5 days left in the transfer window. And they were like, all right, well, we got like, not many clubs are still like looking for, well, there were clubs looking for teams, but I wanted to go to like a top five league. I thought after the last couple of seasons I had in Austria, I was like, I was ready for the next step up. And France came about because City Group is, they own a bunch of teams, and this team Troyes came about, and I was like, does the coach know about me? Like, does like any of this? They're like, yeah, he knows about you. He's not, like, they've got a lot of players right now, and, you know, you're going to have to work to, like, get in his squad. And then I was like, well, let's do it. I didn't really have many other options. And so I get to Troyes, and that's when, like, everything just kind of, like, this season, like, kind of set up to be how it is right now.
Yeah, man, that's – it's crazy because I was kind of there for the ride, you know, like I was in touch with Mike every day, and I was seeing you pretty much every day, and we're going to dinners or whatnot while you were in Venice. Yeah. And it was crazy because I was excited to have you here. Like I was stoked, bro, because it would have been another guy that if we could go play golf or whatever, you know, we were excited and, you know, we talked about it. But yeah, I remember too, when Mike called me, and, you know, I was on the day of the signing, and I was like, yo, like celebration dinner tonight. And, you know, Mike was, you know how Mike is, and it was tough for me to even, like, I felt horrible the whole time, and the guys that were here were feeling horrible. So it was difficult for the club as well, because I know the club wanted you to come as bad as you did. So
yeah,
I mean, it is tough that it didn't all work out, but, you know, everything works out for a reason. So
yeah, exactly.
But I mean, maybe, I mean, I don't know, we'd be in a different situation this year. Maybe your team would be as well, but.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I know right now, like I keep in touch or like keep up with like all the games. Like, I have an alert, like alerts on my phone for Venice, like to see what you and Boos are doing and like how the team's doing. And like, I can see right now, like you guys are also in that like relegation battle. We're in it here too. It's a grind, bro. Like when you're in that relegation battle with your teammates and stuff like that, it is a grind. And I've been relegated once with NAC Breda a couple years back. And man, it is one of the, it just feels like when something's like going wrong, everything's going wrong. Like, and like sometimes there's finger pointing, like it gets crazy. It gets to that point where it's like, you just got to keep everything in the locker room. And right now I think both of our teams are kind of going through it right now. We're kind of on the up and looking good, but I mean, anything can happen. So it's just one of those things where, too, when I got here, like I wasn't playing at all the whole first part of the season. I wasn't playing. I was like coming to training, I mean, obviously in a country like haven't been before, in a like smaller town where like French is like the only language, just not many English speakers. Like our coach didn't speak English at all. And, you know, I wasn't playing. I was super upset. I was like talking to my agent. I was like, I want to leave like at like half season. And because the coach wasn't playing me, I played one game, like 70 minutes against Nantes. And that was because like our captain and one of our other center backs had like red cards suspensions or yellow card suspensions. And I played that game and I thought I did well. And then the coach also was like, yeah, you did well. Like for, we didn't expect that. Like, that's kind of what he said. Like the coach was just like, we didn't expect you to do well. And I was like, all right, played a cup game after that. And then didn't get like any minutes. Like, and so it was just kind of one of those things where it was like, I need to be playing to like, hopefully like get to the level like I want to be at. And like, I think kind of like you said earlier, Tanner, like everything happens for a reason. And obviously this part of the season's going better for me. We got a new coach in, and since then I've just kind of been enjoying the ride, like playing game in, game out, and just improving game in and game out.
That's lovely. New coach speaks English or no?
Yeah, he speaks English.
Okay.
Does this funny thing though. He does this funny thing where he's like always like, he speaks English, like perfect English. Like sometimes he'll like search for words, but like he'll do this thing like, did you understand like any of that? Like, cause he'll say everything in French and I'll say no. And then he'll just kind of laugh and just like walk away. Like, cause we have like three or four people. We have this guy that's on the Canadian national team, but he's like English. And he speaks like good French. So he'll like translate things, but he's like, it's so funny. Like our coach will sometimes just ask the English guys, like, did you understand any of that? Like, not a word. And they're like, all right, like, doesn't matter. We're like, all right, sweet, thanks.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Did you expect the, obviously you just said like the season took a sharp turn for you, did you expect this call up from Greg?
Nah, dude, not at all. Honestly, I thought I was playing well. I was playing every game in Ligue 1, and I think I don't know. I wanted it. I really wanted it. I thought like, okay, like there's a chance. Like, I don't know how Chris is doing like ankle wise. Cause I knew like Chris was coming back from injury, and, but like hadn't heard anything from Greg like all year, like no communication really. And then probably like 2 days before the roster came out, he texted me and was like, hey, can we chat? And I was at treatment at the time. And I was like, yeah, like I'm at treatment, I'll call you later. And called him and he was just like, hey dude, like you've been doing like really well. We want to invite you to camp. I was stoked. He was like, I don't know like what capacity it'll be at. Like, I don't like, but I want you to come into camp, contribute, like show what you've been up to and do your thing. And that's kind of just the way I took it, was like, I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to get at this camp, but just go in, enjoy the moment, be with the boys and do what I can, help the team qualify.
You did help them qualify. I mean, getting thrown into the fire like you did in one of the most important qualifying matches of the World Cup. I mean,
right wing back, dude. I couldn't believe it. Like the morning of the game, Reggie was feeling sick, and I know like he wasn't with us like in one of the meetings, and Greg pulled me aside and he was like, hey, have you ever played right back? And I was like, nah, like never. I've never played right back. And he was like, well, like if we need you to go there, like, could you do it? And I was going to say yes. Like I wasn't going to be like, no, like, no, you know, when a coach asks you those, like these questions, like, you know what you're going to say. Like, you're always going to be like, yeah, of course, anything. Like, so, but he asked me and I was like, yeah, like, of course. And he's like, we think you have the qualities like for it. And so, you know, going into the game, I was like, nah, like D would probably have 90 minutes, but if not, I'll be ready. And just going in, I think kind of like around the 80th minute, like saw D like cramping up, and obviously in the altitude in Mexico City, it's always going to be tough. And then, literally just got up to go warm up and he's like, EPB, get them in, like get them ready. And like, so I got like a minute of warm up and then just had to go in. So it happened so quick, but you know how it is. Like when your number's called, you got to be ready. And if that opportunity comes and you're not ready, that's when it slips away. So those are the moments that you just got to take it and go with it. So
how did you feel in the pitch?
Yeah, no, I felt all right. Like, I mean, it was kind of the last 10 minutes. I think they had a lot of the ball then. We were, every time it went out, just wasting time, like taking time off the clock. We knew like if we could get a draw, obviously that it would be good for us in the standings and stuff. Obviously away too at Mexico City is never an easy game at the Azteca. And I think on the pitch, it felt good. I think I was definitely winded. Like that altitude is serious. It is serious. Yeah. I was out there and I was just like, probably like 6 minutes in, I was like, dude, I'm dead. Like I was blowing. I was like, and then, yeah, after the game, we had to do like some sprints for the guys that like didn't play much. And man, you really feel it. It was different, but you know how it is when you're out there for 10 minutes, you got enough in the tank.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Me and John actually played in Aztec Stadium. Caught a fat L though, but we played in what was it like? What do you call it?
Like a Liga MX tournament, I guess. It was like MLS teams versus Liga MX teams, and then we made it to the final.
An academy, Aztec,
yeah, academy. Azteca, yeah, academy. U17, I think it was.
And, how'd you guys feel? Do you feel
that? I felt the same, bro.
No, the first training, because we were training at the God where the Mexican national team trains. And oh my goodness, bro, like
bro,
you said,
it's different
in the warm up. You're like,
yo, we were like in the hotel, and we had to like climb like just like two flights of stairs. And I was like, yo, is there like, and everyone was like, yo, can you feel that? I was like, yeah, I can feel it. I was like, damn, but it was crazy, bro.
That's different, bro. But I want to talk about you playing a different position. I got this story. I found this story. at the 20s with Tab, you played center defensive mid.
Yeah.
And you won in qualifying, you won the golden ball. And then in the World Cup, you made the best 11 playing center defensive mid. Yeah.
Nah. So World Cup, I didn't play six. I played center back in the World Cup.
Okay. But qualifiers.
Qualifiers. I played six. The CDM.
And do you remember what you told the city guys when they asked you if you played six or no?
What'd they ask? So they asked like you like how'd they ask you? I don't remember. I don't even remember how that, you know, what I said.
So what I heard is they asked you like, have you ever played six before? And you were like, no, I've never played six. And they were like, so how'd you know what to do? Like, how'd you maneuver through it? And you said, I just watched videos of Busquets and figured it out.
I did do that. I remember doing that. I bet you I said that too. I can't believe I was that honest with them. But that is, I legitimately would be, my roommate was like Tommy Redding and he was playing center back, him and Justin Glad. And I was like, bro, I'm about to, but like play six, I've never played here before. We're like, this is like an important tournament to qualify for World Cup, our 17th cycle. Like me and Tommy, like we missed out on the World Cup, we didn't qualify, so it was like one of those things. And like Tab gave me the armband too, and I was like, yo, if I like am terrible here, like I'm just out of the team, like captain stripped of his armband and everything, like so I was like on YouTube. I'm telling you, it was a crazy, but like when you have like Tyler Adams and Eric Williamson, Tyler Adams is playing 10 for us and that guy doesn't stop running. So like, I just got to sit in front of the two center backs and I didn't really have to do much. Like if you ask me, I think the golden ball kind of like I scored one goal the whole tournament. And like, I think the golden ball just went to the captain of the winning team of the tournament. So, I'm not sure. I deserve.
Let's not say all ball. That. Come on.
I deserve the golden ball. I think Brooks Lennon had like 4 or 5 goals, like 2 assists, and I got the golden ball. So I don't know how that worked at the time with like CONCACAF, but it was I loved it. Like it was a great like award for me to get at that time, and to be playing out of position was just, it was something new. But you like, I think in general now, like, especially like thinking about the World Cup roster and playing in different positions, I think that's a big, being able to like play in different positions is a big part of like what coaches take into account of like, oh, I can use this guy here, use this guy. So like, think now having that experience and being able to like know that I can do that is something that's invaluable to me and hopefully going forward in my career.
Yeah, for sure. Got to have those utility players.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to switch the convo a little bit to I guess my connection to you. I reached out to you about 2 years ago when I made my move to Porto. I think even right now, I'm trying to think, I think me and you are still the only Americans that have played there, even in the youth.
Yeah.
And do you remember who your coach was when you were there?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great coach. It was Louis, he's in Brazil now, but Luis Castro.
Okay. Crazy. Yeah. Okay. I guess I was mistaken because I thought we had the same coach. I had one coach through the first half of the season, and the second half of the season, we were about to get relegated. So we switched to Foya, Antonio Foya. I don't know if you know who that is. He might have been like 19s or B team.
I think he was the 19th coach. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we spoke about you, and I don't know, were you playing with Govea also and Gudinho?
Yeah, with Gudinho and Govea. Yeah.
But obviously, me and you had totally different experiences. You won the second league. Like I said, we almost got relegated. So I guess just tell me about that. I mean, looking at it now, at least I spoke Spanish, so Portuguese is easier for me. But yeah. I mean, knowing how Porto is, like, I had an English team and he struggled because no one spoke English besides me. So how was that for you?
Yeah, dude, that was my first experience in Europe, and it was just crazy, man. Like, I wasn't playing in Sporting Kansas City, and we were in preseason, and my agent told me, like, hey, Porto wants you on loan. And I was like, let's do it. But the season before, I knew, like, we had Matt Beisler as our captain and center back, who was at the time on the national team. Aiko Parra, I think, won comeback player of the year. And so, like, in my position, it was going to be really tough to, like, break into the team. And I was like, I need minutes. Like, I need to play. This is our U20 World Cup year. Like, if I'm not playing, like, probably not going to make the team. So that when that came about, like, I was super excited. And I get to Porto, like, good facilities, everything. It was nice, great city, on the water, warm weather. But, man, living-wise, like, I was 19 at the time, going to a whole new country. And I know now you guys know how it is. My friends were in college. I was seeing all these videos on Snapchat of them, like, going out and stuff like that. And I was just, like, at the time, I couldn't get, like, my driver's license there to drive. Like, I needed, like, a certain permit to, like, drive there. So they were like, hey, it's better if you stay at the, like, hotel where we have a bunch of these players at. Like, we had a bunch of Brazilian players at the Holiday Inn. I stayed at the Holiday Inn. I lived at the Holiday Inn. They had, like, hotel apartments. And so I would just get a ride from them in the morning and then go to practice and then come home. And I swear to you, it was the first time I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, I don't know if I can do this. Because at the time when I got there, I wasn't playing right away. Like, it took a month to start playing. And when you're not playing, when you're, you know, in a country where you don't speak the language, like, it gets tough. It's one of those moments where it's definitely a reality check. And I think being 19, I remember just like, oh, man, calling my mom, like, texting my old teammates and just being like, dude, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. And once I started playing and playing well, like, it got a little bit better, but my life off the pitch was always difficult. Like, it was just like, oh, I'm just going back to the hotel to chill, like, in my hotel apartment in the Holiday Inn, bro. I was that song. I remember I used to play that song in the, like, Holiday Inn all the time. And it wasn't until those, like, that team award, what are the
Dragão de Ouro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes to order.
And this American guy walked up on crutches onto the stage to take an award. He was a basketball player. And he's like, no fala Portuguese, like in front of everyone that speaks Portuguese. And he was like, just gave his speech in English. This basketball player won like basketball player of the year. His name was Brad Tensley. And he's still there now. But he got off stage and I was on my phone Googling this guy. I was like, who is this guy? Like, how can I like, and like, I found his Instagram. I DM'd this guy. And my teammates saw me like Googling him and they were like laughing at me and they're like, this guy, who is this guy? Like, but I DM'd him on Instagram and I was like, hey, I'm like an American out here. And he, I think he was probably like 26 at the time. And I just DM'd him like, hey, can we hang out? And he was like, yeah, dude, come over. My wife, like, we'll have a cooked meal, like home cooked meal. And so like, I went over there and every like opportunity I got to go over there, like it just, they became like my family. Like they, we were always hanging out. He loved like football, American football. We were watching like every Sunday, we would watch like Red Zone and his wife would cook for us. And she was an amazing cook. Got to go like Thanksgiving. They made like this huge meal. It was just, that's like when kind of like it started going uphill for me. And it in Portugal, that was just kind of like the low and then the high. And then obviously on the soccer side, like you said, we won the second division. That year, the 19s won the U19 division as well. And it was just, it was a good year, definitely soccer wise, but like off the pitch, I had like some life lessons to learn and like how tough it can actually be like living in Europe.
No, that's so dope. That's a dope story. And I think I had heard of that guy also. I didn't reach out to him, but yeah. I know some Americans played there, but how does it, obviously, I know you probably felt it. How did playing for Porto, such like a traditional club, help you now? Maybe going to, obviously you're playing in the top five league now, but I mean, if you compare Porto, in my opinion, to maybe other teams, like Porto is so traditional with everything that they do.
Yeah.
Maybe it can be a little bit easier now.
One of the like maybe like the fourth or fifth day I showed up, I was wearing a jacket and I walk in the building and I didn't know.
Is it the red rule?
I knew. Yes, bro. I walked in wearing a red jacket, and you do not wear red there, bro. The guy at the front desk, like, so I don't speak Portuguese. He just like yelling at me. And I'm like, yo. And then like my teammate's like, I think saying he doesn't understand you. And then the guy comes up to me, like unzips my jacket, takes it off, and just trashes it, throws it away, bro. And I was like, yo, what happened? Like. And then, like, I asked my teammates, and they were like, yeah, you, like, don't wear red here. Like, you can't wear red boots. You can't, like, don't wear red. Like, Benfica, our rivals, we hate them. Like, and, like, I was just, from that moment on, I was like, yo, it is serious. Like, to not be able to wear, like, just a red jacket, I was like, that the hatred, it is, I didn't realize, like, how big of a rivalry it was. And then, like, also, just to see how passionate like the fans and the people of Porto are to, like you said, like it's such a big club, and to realize that when you're there and see, you know, 40,000 a game at that stadium at the Dragão is just one of the things of like when you're in Europe and you see these stadiums packed, you know, like these traditional clubs, like you said, like an old, it's crazy to think, like, because like growing up in America, like I was going to games for the Kansas City Wizards at Arrowhead Stadium that sits 75,000 and maybe getting like, I don't know, 8,000 a game. So like it's just one of those things where that would never happen in like the Dragão or like these clubs that just like build around their fans and their community. It was eye-opening. That's the biggest thing for me, to figure out how serious it is in Europe right off the bat. Like I said, that was like my fourth day. And that's when you really start to realize like this is, it's going to be a grind.
Sure.
That's crazy.
Sure.
Did you ask him, Jay?
No, I was going to ask you, did you get caught with the red rules as well, John?
No, I didn't, thankfully, bro. Someone else got caught, so that's how I knew. But bro, that English guy I'll tell you about, Oh my gosh. He showed up in a full red tracksuit, red shoes, everything, bro. They didn't. No. So he was kind of like a bigger player. So they didn't, like, everyone knew him. So I guess they respected him enough to not, like, I guess, trash it. Like you said, I guess maybe it was because you were newer. He was like the maybe a hot shot. I don't know. But they were like, yeah, bro, you can't do that. And they still made him change. So it was is absolutely crazy, bro.
Yeah. I'm not even sure he put it like in like near the trash can or in the trash, but I never got it back. So it just that's why I said he trashed.
Yo, that's unbelievable, bro.
Did you like it enough? And obviously Porto's a huge club. You see they've had success as of late.
Yeah.
Would you want to go back and play in their first team ever?
I think I would never go back to – I wouldn't go to Benfica. I would go back to Porto, yeah. I mean, you see these guys like Luis Diaz, you know, like these guys. Tecatito was there, you know, for a long time. He just – where'd he go? Is he in Sevilla now or Valencia? Yeah. And, I mean, it's a big club where you get those big moves. Like, it's obviously a club, I think, in Portugal, the top four teams. You know, I don't think I would turn down a move to any of those teams.
Except for Benfica.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, you see Benfica. Like, I wouldn't go to Benfica now that I've been at Porto, but those top four teams in that league, those are
for sure.
You know, like, teams you would go to in a heartbeat.
That's amazing.
Let's talk about
– sorry, Sam, before you say it, but it's good to hear that story. I mean, I've never been able to connect with anyone like that and have those experiences, bro. That's crazy.
It was crazy.
That is crazy, though. I can't believe that they have a rule like that and they're serious about it. I could totally believe it. But as an American, it's still like crazy to think about, you know, sports team. Yeah, it's
insane, dude. It's like the fandom over here, like they are born into it. You know, like you think about like American football games and stuff like that, like before games, like you'll be tailgating, like drinking, and then like in the parking lot, like over winter break, I went to a Chiefs game. We were playing the Steelers and like Steelers fans and like Chiefs fans, they'd be giving them hot dogs and stuff like that. And in Europe, it's just not like that, bro. It's different. Like after games, if we play bad, like here, like we had a game, we got smacked. We got smacked up. We lost 4-1 to who'd we lose to 4-1? France. And we come back from like an away trip. We stayed there like 3 days because the new coach came in and he wanted to like get us to do like some team bonding. We come back and like we had some like major turbulence on the flight home after we lost 4-1. Everyone was like freaking out. We get back and the fans are waiting for us at the airport, you know, with like flares and like we want the coach out. And like it's just crazy, bro. Like they're so passionate and love the like team and the club so much that like just like growing up in America, you don't see that as much with American sports. And like, I'm not saying like Americans aren't as passionate about their teams, but like, man, to see fans like, you know, lighting fireworks, throwing flares and like not letting your coach into their car for a little bit, bro. It's one of those things where you just realize like, this is their lives, bro. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Here in Venezuela, we have some similar stories with some fans going crazy, but it is crazy. Like, it's literally their lives. Like, they work in the week to come to the game. This is the only reason.
Uh-huh.
So it's a special thing, you know, especially when your team's doing well. It's the support you get is unreal, but when times are tough, it's obviously difficult for the player to deal with that hatred and stuff. But let's talk about the move to City, bro. How did it all come about? And, you know, what was that like? Like signing for Manchester City,
dude. It happened quick. Like, I think a lot of it came from the U20s, like playing obviously because I wasn't playing much in Kansas City, and a lot of it came from U20s. I was coming up to be out of contract with Kansas City, and just getting on the flight to go there, like to sign like the pre-deal, like because I was at like 6 months, and just seeing the facilities, like hearing the guys talk to you, like being able to meet Pep and Mikel Arteta, like, bro, it was like one of those things, like you couldn't turn it down. And at the moment, it was like a surreal feeling. Like Pep's just like a normal dude talking about golf. He loves golf. He's huge. I think his son golfs and he loves golf. Like at the time they had like at City, they had a golf simulator in there. And like, I saw him in there. His swing is nice. It's crispy, bro. He's got a nice swing. I still have like the videos on my phone. And just being able to sign for City and like be out there and be in one of those clubs, you know, probably a top five club in the world. That not probably is a top
easily,
five club in the world.
Easily. Yeah.
And just see that environment, see the pitches, like see how professional everything is. It was such a blessing, dude. Like, I think even though I've been in the lone army kind of thing, like the way they take care of you, bro. I worked with Julian Lescott for every year up until this year. He got a new job. Bro, it's different. It changed my game as a center back, being able to talk to him and like go over clips with him. And they're out like every week. They were out. Like right now there's a guy here at Troyes, like that I've worked with, like the physio, that's always like coming and going and stuff like that. So they're always watching. They're always in communication. They're always like talking. And I think even though, like I said, being in that lone army, they're always taking care of you. They're always watching. You always have communication and you feel a part of the team, like a part of Manchester City, because they're always connected with you. Like even to this day, like I'll get a text from like one of the, like the head of the loans department or head of like the like City group that like runs all the teams. Like he texted me after like I got my first start here in Troyes for like a long time and I played decent. Like he's just like, I'm so proud of you. Like these guys are just good people and they run their business like a tight ship and a family. So it was awesome. It was just,
that's beautiful.
Indescribable. Yeah.
Do you think there's a day that you are the starting center back for Manchester City?
Man, I would hope, but right now, like, it just seems like these guys are, you know, just moving, bro. They're moving forward. They're buying players left and right. You know, you got Ruben Diaz right there. He's a 97 like me. I mean, Laporte, John Stones, these guys. I think City's just going to do what they need to do to stay at the top. So hopefully one day that can be me, and I want to believe it could be me. So I don't know, but the goal right now is to just keep playing, keep grinding, stay healthy, and just keep working my way up.
Did you ever play against Diaz?
Say that again?
Did you ever play against Ruben Diaz?
Yeah, bro, in Porto, we played against him all the time. Like, so, well, not all the time. We played him twice. And also for my U20s, we played Portugal before we went to the World Cup in Japan. And yeah, I know him. Good dude, really nice guy. Obviously, he's a beast and doing really well. But the guy is—he's different. Like he's built different now. Like when we were younger, like he wasn't like he's a beast now. Like the guy is built. I see like videos of him just like working out like Ronaldo every day, like after training and stuff like that. So he is just different.
Well, I kind of want to give it up to you, though, because like you said, maybe you've been part of the lone army, but I feel like every move you've gone up and up and up. And I feel like, I mean, you're already playing in a top five league. I mean, I don't think you're that far away, really, like in all honesty. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, no, I will say like being in the lone army, though, like that's the tough part, like not knowing what next year holds. Like, bro, like all my stuff is like I was in Belgium for 6 months. And then I moved to Breda for the year. And then after that to Austria, like jumping around club to club, it always takes me a little bit like of time to settle. Like I need to be in an apartment. Like I need to like be able to like have my stuff and like moving place to place and, you know, learning new languages and like new cultures. It's always like, it takes me personally probably like a month or two to just like get into the swing of things. And then a part of that's like the soccer side. And then getting into that too and learning your teammates and like getting to know, like it always takes a while. And that was always like kind of the hardest part. So like going to Austria, Vienna, and like being able to stay 2 years, that was huge for me. Like to be comfortable going into a preseason, like knowing the guys, knowing the culture, knowing like what the, like how the team plays and all that. Like, I think that was the biggest thing for my career. Like, because like I said, bouncing around year to year, I was always so uncertain. Every summer I go home, my friends and family are asking like, hey, what's next? Like, my answer is like, I don't know. Like, I never know the answer. And like, to be able to stay in Austria and be in Vienna for those 2 years, I think really just helped my game, staying healthy as I could have been probably. And like playing all those games in Austria just really helped me, I think, learn more about myself and about my game.
So now you're with this team until 2024, correct?
What year is it now? Yeah, 2024. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to be nice.
Yeah, it is nice. Obviously, like I said, we're kind of like in a relegation battle. We've been doing better. I think we're in 15th right now.
Yeah, y'all are 5 points off the drop. I just checked.
Yeah, 5 points off the drop. We got a tough schedule coming up. And I think we got Monaco on the weekend away. After that, we got like a three-game week where we play Clermont and Strasbourg, Strasbourg's in fourth right now. And then we play Nice, Lille, PSG back to back to back. So it's a tough stretch of games coming up. So I think if math wise, if we get two wins, we're mathematically safe no matter what. So that's the goal right now, to just go out. We got a game against Monaco this weekend. Obviously a tough game away, but you go out there, every game starts 0-0. You never know what can happen. So we're going with the intention to win the game. And I think my team's confident right now. I think we're all confident in that, like, if we can get out there and get a goal, that we can hold zeros, we can hold teams to not so many goals. I think the biggest problem, we've been giving up penalties, we've been giving up some bad fouls and some bad spots, but other than that, like, it's a team I feel like we're rolling right now with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I saw that you guys haven't lost in like what, five or six games, maybe more, right?
Since
yeah, like five
Bordeaux
games.
Yeah, 5 games since Bordeaux. So, yeah,
let me ask you, you said PSG, I don't know if you were on the squad or there the first time y'all played PSG, and I don't know if you're the kind of guy who asked for jerseys, but have you put some thought into maybe if you're gonna ask someone for their jersey or not really?
Yeah, no, I'm not a guy that asks for jerseys. I mean, but I think I mean we play against PSG and we play well, first of all. Like, I don't want to go out there getting smacked like 5-0 and then asking for a jersey, you know? Yeah. So I think being able to play against them, I think there's 3 games left in the season. So we'll see what they do with their team too at that time. Like, cause I think at that time they'll probably have first place pretty secure. So we'll see who's out on the pitch. But obviously, like, if we're out there, I'd ask for Mbappe's. I don't know why, just like probably going up against him and that position. I mean, I know Messi's up there too and Neymar, but for me, I think playing against Mbappe would be pretty surreal.
You just got to watch that Mbappe, one movie. Huh? You got to watch that one move he does. I know you know what I'm talking about. When he cuts in and then he shoots it to the defender's legs near post.
Yeah, but he's so quick, bro. I was watching the Champions League, like when they played against Real. Bro, there was like one ball over the top. And he was like, it was from half field to the box. He was there in like 1.5 seconds, bro. That speed is different. He's just different, bro. We can't be playing the high line against this guy.
And the fact that John just said you got to watch out for that one move, talking about Mbappe. Come on, bro.
That's a signature move, though. You can't lie. That's a signature move.
All right. But if like Messi, you got to watch out for that one cut inside, and then you're good. So
yeah, you got to watch out for Messi's left foot, bro.
Yeah. And then Neymar, you just got to watch out for Neymar, and then you're good. So.
Well, to be fair, I feel like Mbappe is.
You can't, and then they got Di Maria as well. So when Di Maria comes on, you got to watch out for his right foot. So
Di Maria, bro, Verratti, their team's stacked, bro. That Nuno Mendes kid at left back has been Nuno's unbelievable. Good. He's so good, bro. That team is stacked. It is honestly insane. But I mean, again, like I said, every game starts 0-0, so anything can happen. And I've seen them drop points to teams that we've beaten. So. It's one of those things, like we're not going out there to, you know, just maybe exchange jerseys after the game. Like, we're going out there to win. We're going to Paris to hopefully take 3 points, and then maybe they're asking for our jerseys, you know?
Hey, one thing's for sure. Hey, one thing's for sure. If y'all beat them, we can attest it to the Chump Chat blessing. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yes, bro. I've been seeing the Chump Chat blessing. I'm waiting for it now, bro. I'm gonna text you guys when the Chump Chat blessing comes. I'm gonna be texting you guys.
Yeah. That's it's what we like thing. To hear. It's a real thing, trust.
I'm waiting for it. It's either going to happen this season or this golf season for me. I'm either breaking 80 or I'm scoring a goal in Paris.
Whenever it happens, though, I need you to finally post on your Instagram, and I need the caption to be the Chump Chat blessing. Deal?
I'll post. I'll post on Instagram. Yeah, I got you.
To talk about that, though. What's up with you not post on Instagram? We need to talk about this.
Bro, I've said this so much. Me not posting on Instagram, I'll post on like my story and stuff, like to let people know I'm alive. I posted in my like on my story of us. We were doing like the hyperbolic chambers and like had the mask on, and I put like that song on, like I'm still alive, but I'm barely breathing. And like people, okay. I got so many people flooding comments back, like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm just in like I got, but. The reason I don't post is just because, like, I think Instagram's kind of, like, I love Instagram. And I love, like, to see, like, people on my Instagram and people, like, doing well and stuff like that. But, like, for me, a lot of the time, like, it got to, like, where people were just, like, chasing the clout and chasing, you know, like, stuff that, like, which is fine. Like, not just chasing the clout. My biggest thing is, like, you know, no one's posting about, like, when life's hard, you know? Like, no one's posting, like, everyone's posting like the highlights of their life, which is good. Like, I like to see that. I like to see people like prospering and stuff, but at the same time, like it just got all like blurred in. Like when I was having bad times and I was posting stuff like about just like soccer and stuff, when like, I just thought like, oh, it wasn't the real me. So I think after this, like I'm taking like kind of a long break from posting. But when I get back to it, it's just going to be like just legit, like just pure Eric. Like if I'm feeling like down or something like that, or like it's a bad spell of things, like I'll post it, like just direct and just like serious, like all out there for everyone to see.
I like that.
Yeah,
because let's check though, because you said a small break. Let's see what that means, man.
Small break as in like almost probably a year, like a year and a half.
So June 2022, we got the Black Lives Matter post.
No, June 2020.
Yeah, June 20. Yeah.
2020, yeah.
And then February of 20 was your actual, like, your real post.
Let me check this real
quick. Well, he's not even posting soccer things either. Like, his last soccer post was
four posts ago. That's what I'm saying. It's been a 2018 was his last soccer post.
2018.
Probably no one knows where I'm playing anymore, bro. I do need to make a post. to make a post. It's been a minute.
They just know that you're a Kansas City fan. That's all they know. They're like,
yeah,
this guy's
exactly.
A Kansas City fan.
They know I'm a Chiefs fan.
And your happiest –
Tiger Woods.
Your happiest day of your life is Tiger Woods.
Bro, yeah. Let's repeat that, Tiger. That's what I'm talking about right
there.
Yeah,
call him out.
Here we go.
Give him some of the Chump Chat blessing.
Yeah, there we go. Tiger, hop on this podcast tomorrow or tonight, and you're winning the Masters.
Exactly.
This guy. He looks so good in that red, Sunday red.
Yeah, that Sunday red. Too bad you couldn't wear Sunday red down in Porto, but it is what it is.
It's a sick pic. I hadn't seen this pic before. This one. With Diogo Dalot and everyone?
Yeah.
That's dope. I didn't know you played with them.
Yeah. Those are all the guys at Porto. Bruno Costa's back. I saw he's back at Porto.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. You see Daloa United? That's crazy.
Yeah, I know, bro. That was crazy because, like, when I was at Porto, he was on the under-19s and then, like, sometimes came up and, like, played with us. But, bro, like, he spoke the best English. Like, it was awesome. Like, he was such a good dude. And those under-19s, those guys, a lot of those guys now that are, like, in the first team somewhere, just – good dudes, man. Really good dudes.
Yeah.
All right, bro. We come down to this one question that we have on. We have the Chump Chat blessing. We also have our success defined. So, John, ask me the question, bro.
All right, bro. You probably know the question, but basically the whole gist of this whole podcast is to find out the definition of success. Obviously, we're interviewing a lot of successful people. But we want to ask you, what your definition of success is, and do you think you've achieved it yet?
Ooh, definition of success, and have I achieved it? I did see this question. I did not prepare. This is a great question. I think success is defined by a lot of things. Like, I don't think it's just one thing in particular. Like, success for me isn't necessarily like just football or soccer. Like, it is also like in my personal life and like just being the best version of me. And like, whether that means, you know, being a good teammate, like in the times that I'm not playing, like, I think success always kind of changes for me because like the situation always changes. Like, obviously, like, we all see ourselves at the top, like, want to be at the top for soccer, want to be at the top for, you know, life. Like, when I'm playing against my friends in golf, I want to be at the top. But like, in those situations, in those moments that it changes, like, kind of like at the beginning of the season for me with like the heart thing and then not playing and then to playing, it's always changing. My definition of success is more just taking every day, like, step by step and being the best that I can be. Like, even in those days of, you know, where they're just crappy or just those are the times where I feel like success kind of like defines me. Like, if I'm just going to let it beat me down, or like, if it's like, today was a bad day, like, it's time to move on to the next day. Like, and just doing something that not only like makes me happy, but like can make others around me happy and like be that guy that brings a smile to other people's faces when it's possible. That's my definition of success. Like, cause it's always changing for me. I think soccer wise, obviously I have like goals and I want to achieve those goals, but like, I don't think that's just like success in my mind. I think success is being able to be the best version of yourself and make people around you happy. That's my definition of success.
Kind of a different answer. We really haven't had one like that. It's definitely, I think it corresponds to happiness, I think is kind of what you're saying, but it's like a daily thing, yeah. You know, for you. And yeah, I think you've definitely been in that. You've been in those hard times where you haven't had people there and you've had to figure out on your own and question what you're doing. So when you are in that happiness, it's, you feel successful, you feel good and you feel like you want to feel, you know?
Yeah, that 100%. I think you explained it better than me. I think that's exactly where it is. That's because I figured out, like, when you're striving for those goals, when you're striving for that success that you kind of like dream of and like it fails or it falls short, it leaves me with just kind of like this sadness and this, like, not like emptiness, but just like this feeling of like, man, like, what, like, not like failure, but like, just like, they're like, you fell short of your goals, like that kind of thing. So like trying to figure out like that middle ground and be, you know, when you don't reach those goals, when you don't reach what you set out to reach in your, like, in your life, I think that's when you can always come back to like being like, you know what, like, I'm just grateful for these opportunities that I'm getting now. Like, when I was younger, like in Portugal and like super sad about living alone and like missing out on like all the college parties my guys were going to, like, now is the time like where I'm living in France and like being able to travel to Paris on the weekend or like on our day off and be like, not a lot of people get to see Paris, you know, like not a lot of people get to spend their time like living in Austria and France and like all these cool different countries. And I'm just trying to enjoy like the moment and, you know, like meeting new friends and stuff like that. Like, I think last season or two seasons ago, I probably met one of my best friends, like this Australian guy who's like, he's 30 now, he's got a kid, but like one of my best friends to this day. And it's just, it's crazy where football can take you and like life can take you. So success is defined by these like little moments for me.
That's beautiful, man.
That's inspirational.
I like that.
That's inspirational.
I like that.
Little inspirational success. But like, again, like if we're talking about like success in like football though, like my goal is to make it to the top. Like, I want to play, my goal, like football wise, is I want to play in Spain. I think the style of football kind of fits me, like where they play football and, you know, the weather's warm. That's another good, that's a great thing about like Spain and Portugal and stuff like that. But like, That's my goal. I want to play in Spain in La Liga and, you know, play in the Champions League. I want to play in the Champions League. I want to be at the top. I want to be playing in a World Cup. Those are my football goals.
For sure.
Well, we love the answer that, because we usually have to ask our guests that, but you just straight up answered it. But we don't want to take away too much of your time. I mean, we appreciate you giving us all this time.
Your full attention. But time. Just watching Masters.
But obviously you're getting called in now in the World Cup coming up. You're having a solid season. I mean, do the thoughts of maybe sneaking in that World Cup roster, do they start trickling into your mind a little bit?
Oh, 100%. I think now, like, after getting a taste of, like, being in camp and qualifying with the group and being with the guys, like, that's been, like, one of the only thoughts in my mind, you know, is, like, what can I do to make that World Cup roster? What can I do to be a part of that team to help the U.S., like, reach our goals in the World Cup? And I think the path's not, like, always so clear, obviously, like, because at the end of the day, it's the coach's decision on who he gets to, like, bring to the World Cup and stuff like that. But, like, I'm going to do everything in my power to, like, make it a tough decision and to keep me off that roster. So
that's all you can do.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Like, when it comes to football, like, you're never guaranteed anything. So it's just one of those things where just got to keep your head down and keep working. I think that's what every footballer kind of does. And that's kind of the American mentality anyway. Like, it doesn't matter if, you know, you're not playing or whatever. You just gotta keep grinding, bro. It's a grind.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
Couldn't have said it better myself, bro. Couldn't have said it better. Yeah, and plus, the thing about the World Cup is, like, you never know. Like you said, just keep working. Injuries can happen. Anything can happen. You can hit an amazing form and start banging goals. I don't know. And then you're on the plane.
Start,
you know?
Scoring goals, bro. The chum chat, bro. If the chum chat blessing doesn't come to me soon, then I'm going to be texting Tanner. I'm going to be texting Johan. I'm going to be texting you guys and be like, bro, where is this chum chat blessing? Where is it?
It's coming through, bro.
Because if I don't see it, bro, we got 8 games left. 8 games.
There's no coming, timeline, bro, for the blessing, but it comes all right, quick.
No timeline. All right. I'm gonna be waiting. And when I get it, I'll be posting, first of all. I'll be posting, and I expect a post.
We'll post together. We'll do a little collab post. How about that?
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay. But
perfect.
No, we appreciate having you on. Our last question I want to ask is, you know, you've been on Chum Chat, you're getting the vibes. Who do you want to see next on Chum Chat?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think of all your guests and who you haven't had. You should get Alex on here to talk about that kind of side of football.
I've thought about it, and I told Alex, you know, after, you know, we've split ways, and it's a few years down the road, for sure, we get him on to talk about everything and how everything goes down. But
Alex and Duncan, those two would be huge, like, guys to, like, talk to and kind of, like, get their, like, take on, like, football and stuff like that, especially, like, Duncan. I think that'd be a cool one. If you could swing Duncan, that'd be cool. But, like, player-wise, I'd like to see who, I mean, like, some of my guys that I talk to a lot and, like, was at that U20 World Cup with, and who I think would be, like, good chats would be, like, Jeremy Abobasi. He's got, like, a crazy, like, great mind, like, just
unbelievable, he's really intelligent. Smart,
And then, like, Tyler Adams or Eric Williamson, those guys, if you can get those guys on here, I'll shoot Tyler a text. You should definitely try to get Tyler on here. Tyler is a different animal. He's a beast, bro. This guy is – he's just built different. Like, when I saw him at the U20 World Cup, when I first met him – or not World Cup, like, qualifiers, to see the way this guy, like, carried himself as, like, we were, what, 19 at the time? So he was 17-year-old. Bro, I couldn't believe it. Like, this guy doesn't care who it is, like – before we went to the qualifying, we played Chicago Fire. He, like, fouled Bastian Schweinsteiger, just left him on the ground, like, didn't care. And, like, Bastian, like, said something. He's like, get up. Like, just, this guy is just built different. He is an animal. Like, that's when I knew. I was like, this guy's, he's just a beast.
Yeah, you'll have to shoot him a text because we would love to get him on. Obviously, Eric Williamson, we'll get him on in due time sure. But no, bro, we appreciate having you on. We don't take too much of your time, but I think it's been a great episode. Hopefully, you might gain some followers from this and get a little more active on the Instagram. Bro, so,
you know what?
Everybody, say a little update of life, you know?
You guys have been, you might convince me, Tanner. I know we talked about this in Venice, but you might convince me. I might have to get back on the gram to show I'm alive, you know?
Perfect.
This summer, there's no doubt this summer, people will be seeing that golf swing. They will be seeing my golf swing. They will be seeing me shooting low. But until we are secure out of relegation, I don't think I'm posting yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
I like that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to our boy, Eric. His Instagram, although he never posts, will be popped up throughout the whole time. Thanks to our editor, Anthony. This episode was presented by BET Online, and make sure if y'all like the content to like, share, and subscribe. And as we always say, go find your own success. Deuces.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.